Turning your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Acts chapter number 26. And we'll be looking at verses 15 through 18 tonight. As usual, I'll begin at the 15th verse, and if you'll join me on the even-numbered verses, we'll read responsively down from verse 15 down to verse 18 of Acts 26. Stand with me, please. Acts 26, verse number 15 says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of things which I have seen, and of those things which appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from their darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, again, we come, Lord, asking for your hand of blessing on the remainder of the service. Lord, be with the special music, but Lord, ultimately be on the preaching. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd please just speak through our preacher. I pray, Lord, that you'd give him the words to say. I pray, Lord, that you'd work on our hearts. Lord, help us to take something away from the sermon, Lord, that we can work on throughout the week, throughout the rest of the month, and Lord, that we would go away changed. Please, Lord, be with the remainder of the service. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Speak tonight on this subject, life improvement, and out of this passage of Scripture, let's pray together, and we will start in the message. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to serve you in this life, so that someday we may hopefully have a crown to toss at the feet of the Lord Jesus in appreciation for all He's done for us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to earn that crown of life. And so, Lord, help us tonight in the message. Speak to hearts here. And I pray, God, that you'll bless our church these next couple of months. I pray, God, that your hand will be upon us and upon our efforts to better serve you. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And amen. I wanted to say it was good to see the LeBates here tonight. Nicole's dad, mom, always a blessing to have them in the service visiting with us. And God bless these folks and also the young ladies from college and you men. God bless you. Good to have you here again tonight. There's never a bad time to be a Christian. Never a bad time to be a Christian. But I think personally it is exceptionally good to be a Christian in these times. This country is absolutely in turmoil right now. If you've been paying attention to the news at all, I haven't real closely for the last several days. And I don't think it's all Obama's fault. I don't think you can point the finger all at President Obama. I think we as God's people and everybody that lives in this country has a lot of blame to share for what's going on in the shape of our country right now. The truth of the matter is, in some respects, we are experiencing things that third world countries experience. That's the truth. All this unrest at these political rallies, it's terrible. It's third world country. That's what they do in third world countries. Elections are violent. And folks, I don't pro or con Donald Trump. It's wrong that his people can't meet to have a rally. It's wrong. And if that was going on the other side of the coin, we'd be paying a price for sure right now. But anyway, and I hope that you'll go to the polls and vote on Tuesday. I didn't say anything about that. I think I wrote about it in the bulletin. But I hope you'll exercise your constitutional privilege and right and responsibility to go vote. I'm not going to debate with you on who to vote for. That's between you and God. Here's a Bible verse. Be good for you to remember. 2 Samuel 23:3. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. That's how I would vote. I would vote according to that verse right there. And I'll tell you this much, friend. If the leading candidates are a picture of what this country's values and morals are, we're in a heap of trouble. We're in a heap of trouble. We're in a heap of trouble. And so anyway, I hope that you go to the polls and vote. You know, you drive through some places in the inner cities of our country, of our city here, in our country, and it looks like a third world country. Honestly, it does. In some of the inner cities. The anti-police, pro-sodomite rhetoric that's everywhere you turn, it's absolutely sickening. It's sickening. And so, you know, all of these and other things together are creating a surreal environment right now in our country. So I say, there's never been a better time to be a Christian. There's never been a better time to be a light for God. There's never been a better time to stand up for truth. There's never been a better time for Christian people to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. There never has been a greater need among people who are lost to learn of Jesus Christ and His miraculous salvation and what it would do for them in their lives. Like I preached about this morning in the before and after. Before and after. Paul gave his testimony to King Agrippa here in this chapter, and he recalls his salvation experience that he had on the road to Damascus. He did that over and over again. Paul never forgot his testimony. He used his testimony in a powerful way over and over throughout the book of Acts. And he recalls that in verse number 14 and 15. We picked up our reading in the middle of his testimony when he said back to the Lord, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus responded, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And then when you get to verse 16, you have God's purpose. You have the Lord's purpose for Paul. Look at what he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." So he's very specific. Here's the purpose for my appearing unto you, Paul, Saul, to make thee a minister and a witness. That was God's purpose for Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. And verse 17 tells us that he's going to deliver him from the people, the Jews, and send him to the Gentiles, okay? And he's going to be a prophet to the Gentiles, a minister to the Gentiles. And then in verse number 18, you have that incredible verse that details the importance of Paul's mission. And I want to just say three or four things about this, and I want to show you some things tonight on this background back here that we're going to plan for our church in the next several weeks. Look at what he says here. "I want to send you to the Gentiles and deliver thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." So they're going to be against him. They're going to work against him, but Paul's going to be sent to them. And he says at the very beginning of verse number 18, "to open their eyes." And that's more than half the battle, isn't it, when you're trying to win somebody to Christ? It's just getting people to see. And folks, you and I can't do that. That's the work of God. That is the work of God. That's the work of God the Spirit. Getting the people to see the truth. Getting people to see their true condition apart from Jesus Christ. Getting people to see their need. I will say this, that God may use some of what is happening in our country to open the eyes of those who are without Christ. You know, God has used national conditions in the past to help people's eyes to open, to help them see. And I know it didn't last long, but after 9/11, boy, the churches were filled. And people ran to the church house because of the events of that day. And we didn't see, I guess, a lasting effect. Yes, there were some that were saved. We had one that was saved in our church. Brother Tim was here this morning, was saved on the night of 9/11. I don't think Tim was saved just because the Muslims flew the planes into the buildings. I think Tim was saved because people had been praying for his salvation. And God used that to cause his eyes to open. And it was the first time he ever sat down with me and discussed clearly his need of salvation. It was the night of 9/11. So God uses things. We've heard testimonies before. I think it was Dick Seaton that told, when I was with Brother Brown, told stories about how that he was up in Michigan, I believe it was, when the automobile industry first began to just go in the tank. When it used to be booming, you know, that big business in America, and how that for a while the churches were filled in the Detroit area because the automobile industry was going in the tank and people were losing their jobs. God uses national conditions to get people's eyes to open, to cause them to see. You know, when things start to get shaky, when things start to happen that reveal cracks in a person's comfort zone, it might just open their eyes to there's something bigger going on here than just what I'm interested in, just what I was around me, and cause their eyes to open and see their true need of Christ. So he said to open their eyes. Your witness is going to be used to open their eyes. And then he told him to turn them from darkness to light. Now, I've been through this analogy before here in the church service. How many times the word darkness is used to describe the condition of someone who is unsaved without Christ. And it stands to reason, friend, if they are blind, if they need their eyes open, if they're blind, it stands to reason that they are in darkness. And Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He talked about people being lost because the God of this world hath blinded the minds, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Now you put all that together, they're blinded and they need light. So if they need light, they must be in darkness. And the reason that they're in darkness is because they're blind and their minds are blinded and held captive by the God of this world. And that leads us right to the very next phrase where he says to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. Folks, this is why I think it's important for us to realize the battle that is involved in trying to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand this? Their eyes are dark. Their eyes are blinded. Okay? And they're in darkness and they are under the power of Satan. And God told Paul, the purpose for your life is to make you a witness to folks, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And remember that verse in 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds. And people, I'm talking about our neighbors here. I'm talking about our co-workers. I'm talking about our fellow citizens in the community of Bourbonnais and Bradley and Kankakee and surrounding areas. These are people that live around us. They're blind, they are in darkness, and they are under the power of the evil one. Now think about that for a little bit. Is it any wonder we got turmoil in our country? Any wonder? This is the people that are around us. And so this is but how people are. But if they get saved, their eyes open and light floods their soul. They belong to God. They have forgiveness of sin. They have a home in heaven. And you know what that's called? That's called improvement. That's called life improvement. I like the definition of the word improvement. It means a valuable addition, excellence added, or a change for the better. And that was Paul's mission, to go to the Gentiles with the gospel. And here, God said, is what will happen. Their eyes will open, and they will be turned from darkness to light, and they'll be translated from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. That's what's going to happen, Paul, when you go. Some are going to hear, some are going to be saved. And it happened. It happened in Corinth, and it happened throughout all of Galatia, and it happened in Ephesus, and it happened in Philippi, and it happened in Colossae, and it happened in Thessalonica. And you can read some of those epistles where Paul went, and it refers to, in those letters, it refers to them being turned from their darkness of idolatry to the glorious light of Christ. Exactly what God said to Paul would happen is what happened when he went with the gospel message. Life improvement for those who trusted Christ. Life improvement. Now, when you were a little child, if you got saved, your life probably didn't change so much for the better if you were 5, 6, or 7. But if you were beyond, or late teenage years or beyond, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you know that life improved for you. That didn't mean that life didn't have its troubles, didn't mean that life didn't have any burdens or difficulties. But you know in your heart, brother, there's a whole big difference in being in darkness and being in the glorious light of Christ. There's a whole big difference in being in Christ and being apart from Christ. It's called life improvement. I still believe the gospel works today. Still believe it. Now, there may not be as many willing to listen and hear God's word today as there used to be. It may take longer with people than it used to. But any one person who trusts Christ is still translated from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And friend, as a church, we can't afford to lose that emphasis. We have to keep that emphasis. Now, it's that time of year again when we come to spring, we come to fall, we try to have something special for our church to be involved in to hopefully get visitors to church or get the gospel out. Let's just talk frankly tonight, folks. You know, the truth of the matter is we need to see more people, more visitors in our services. We need to see more people saved for their sakes, not for a number's sake. In 25 plus years, we've not turned our numbers in. Now, Denny Coral, Brother Coral, when he comes, he takes counts, he puts numbers in the paper, but I don't ever give him those numbers. He does that himself. It never has been about numbers for somebody's newspaper around here. Never has been. Never has been. But it's not for numbers' sake, it's for their sakes. It's for lost people's sake. It's for people who are under the power of darkness. It's for people who are living under the power of Satan to be freed from that. I'm talking about our neighbors. I'm talking about our people, our co-people in this community. To keep our church on course, we must keep this up. We cannot retreat into defense mode only, defending the truths of God's Word. I'm for that. I'm unapologetic for it. We're an old-fashioned, traditional church that believes in the thus saith the Lord of the Word of God. I am for separation. I think separation is your safety zone. I believe with all of my heart. And Christians that lose their separation are out of their safety zone. I believe with all my heart. But we cannot exist just to defend truth. We must operate on the offense as well. And there may not be a time when a church on the offense with the message of truth is more needed than right now. Than right now. And I mean that with all of my heart. Because, friend, our country is in turmoil. Turmoil. All you got to do is just take the news headlines. You don't have to watch the news. Just read the headlines. Folks, the idea that an open socialist could run in this country and win states, ought to make a knot in your stomach. It's not just about the economy of socialism. The whole idea is built on the principles of humanism. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. And so if you don't think this nation is in turmoil right now, I don't know, your eyes are blind. You need to get your eyes open. So we're going to have some special services this spring, and we're going to try something different this year. We're going to try to have some special services, a special emphasis on Sunday night. And I want to show you some things about it on the PowerPoint tonight. Brother Scott, if you would. Brother Greg, yeah, we go. There we go. That'll help us there. And Eve, these sconces right here. And we're going to call this series on Sunday night, 4 Sunday nights spanning April and May, we're going to call this series Life Improvement. And I want to thank Ryan Harrison for the work he did. This is a picture of a card that we are going to have 5,000 of these cards to pass out over a period of time here. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. And Ryan did the design work on this, and it's excellent. You may not be able to see all the detail in this, but it's this series on life improvement, life improvement. And this is the backside of the card. It says, spring is the time for cleaning and home improvement. This year, focus on improving yourself and your relationships as well. For 1 hour from 6 to 7 p.m. each of these Sunday nights, learn how to develop tools for improvement in these areas. Sunday night, April 17th, is personal improvement. Sunday night, April 24th, is marriage improvement. May 1st is family improvement. May 8th is friendship improvement. We put the definition of the word improvement right there at the bottom. A valuable addition, excellence added, or a change for the better. Do you need some life improvement? The reason we're going to do this on Sunday nights is because there's a lot of people out in the community that go to a church on Sunday morning. It's called a church. I don't mean to be ugly, but it's not a church. It has no charter to be a church. Doesn't believe in the plan of salvation from the Word of God. Doesn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Mrs. Redmond, Dolores, holds a Bible study in Watseka. She uses our discipleship booklets to have a woman's Bible study every week in Watseka. And they have about 8 or 9 ladies in this Bible study. And she's taking these ladies through this Bible study who are not Baptist. And they are from all kinds of denominations. And they are absolutely just... And they're not ugly about it. But their attitude is, we've never been taught any of this. You're talking about the basics of salvation. I'm not talking, folks, about advanced things. We're talking about basics. And while she was in Israel, it was the pamphlet on biblical finances and tithing, and she left it with one of the other ladies to lead the discussion. And when she got back, the lady said, "You're going to have to teach this because none of us knew anything about this." And Mrs. Redmond asked me, she said, "Pastor, what do they talk about in their churches?" I will tell you, folks, I don't know what they talk about. Because they don't, and I'm not being ugly, but they don't take this book right here and preach it line upon line and precept upon precept. They don't. And there's a lot of people that go to church on a Sunday, they go to a quote-unquote church on Sunday morning, who aren't going to leave their church, who might just come here for an evening service. It may not work. If it doesn't work, we'll never try it again. But we're going to streamline the services on those 4 Sunday nights. It's going to last 1 hour. We're going to promote that to the community and try to get people to commit to coming to for 1 hour. Do you need some life improvement? 1 hour on Sunday night from 6 to... We will start at 6. We will be done at 7. We will dismiss at 7. And we'll do that for 4 Sunday nights in a row. Now, don't get used to it. It's not going to last that way forever, okay? But we're going to do it for 4 Sunday nights, all right? So, okay, we're not going to that. We're not going to go to 1 hour church service. We're not going to have Mass on Sunday night and be done, all right? So we're going to try it. Now, you say, well, it won't work. Well, we don't know if it works, folks. Because we haven't tried it, okay? So we're going to try this and see what will happen to get folks to come to the services for those 4 Sunday nights, 2 in April and 2 in May. Now, here's a method, here's a plan, here's a strategy for us to get this done. We got a to-do list. And this is where we told you about the numbers this morning. 4, 40, 400, and 4,000, okay? So this is our strategy to get people to church for those 4 Sunday nights, all right? The number 4 stands for 4 weeks. The 4 weeks, not so much the weeks of the special meetings as the 4 weeks prior to the special meetings. Because during this time period, we're going to distribute those 5,000 cards that we've got, okay? We're going to distribute those door-to-door in specific areas, not blitzing, but trying to make contacts. I'll say more about that in just a minute. This will begin the week of March 20th. So 1 week from today is March 20th. The week after that, the week that follows that, through Saturday, April 16th. So during these 4 full weeks, we need to distribute all these cards that will promote the upcoming series. The cards won't do us any good during the series. So for the number 4 represents the 4 weeks before the special Sundays begin that run from March 20th to April 16th. All right, now... The number 40 stands for 2 things. The number 40 stands for 40 teams. What we need over those 4 weeks is 40 teams. We need 40 teams. That's 80 people. That's 80 different people. We don't mean the same teams going out 2 or 3 times. We mean 40 different teams, 80 different people going out two by two with those cards in our area and other areas, not just most of them in this area, but if you live away from here in places that are close enough to drive in, maybe areas that are closer to you would be fine. We need 40 teams to take these cards and distribute them during that four-week time. So we got 40 teams. Now, those 40 teams, we hope these cards and these 40 teams of folks out visiting will translate into 40 visitors over those 4 weeks. You say, man, that's aggressive. Yes, it is. It's real aggressive. But we've never tried it on Sunday night. We've never promoted just 1 hour. And so we're going to try it and see if it works. Try to get 40 visitors. That's what, 18 years of, or teenagers, I would say teenagers and up, 40 visitors during those four Sunday nights, 40 teams. That's an average of one visitor per team just one time during those 4 weeks. And when you break it down, that's not really that much. One visitor per team, one night during those 4 weeks. Okay? So if each team averages one, we'll have 40 visitors. And folks, you know what? If we don't reach that, if we fall short, I think God will bless the effort involved here. Okay? And so 40 to the number 40. The number 4 is for 4 weeks. The number 40 is for 40 teams or 40 visitors. That hopefully will result in 40 visitors coming during that time. Now, a viable contact. These are, when we go out, the number 400 is what's called, I skipped one, I'm sorry, 400. The number 400 stands for 400 viable contacts. So we're going to go out with these cards that are professionally done. I mean, the graphics are sharp, they're being professionally printed. It should be here the end of sometime this week, middle of the end of this week. And so we're going to take these cards out. Rather than just blitzing, we're going to knock on the doors. We're going to hope to talk to people. If somebody's home, we'll leave the card in the door, okay? But if somebody's home, we hope to be able to have 400. That's 10% of the doors we plan to knock on, okay? So 400 viable contacts. You say, what's a viable contact? A viable contact is any person or family who is specifically interested in coming to one of the 4 weeks of the program entitled Life Improvement. Now, a viable contact is not you knock on the door, they open the door 3 inches and say, go away. That's not a viable contact, okay? They open the door, they take the brochure, and they say, see you later. Okay, that's not a viable contact. A viable contact is somebody that you or I have a brief discussion with about the special services, okay? Somebody that we can at least talk to for a minute or two or 4 or 5 minutes about the special Sunday night services beginning April 17th through May 8th called Life Improvement. Here are the topics on the back. We're going to be talking in our services that last 1 hour and just a brief presentation of the series. And the person takes the card and says, okay, thank you. Man, they don't give you any kind of indication whether or not they'll come, but they at least let you get the presentation of what the series of sermons is about. That is a viable contact. And we'd like to keep track of this. We'd like to keep count and see if we have the 400 viable contacts. Okay? So four is the number four is 4 weeks. The number 40, 40 teams, 40 visitors potentially out of those teams visiting. 400 is the number of viable contacts we hope to talk to people during that time of visiting, okay? And then the number 4,000 is 4,000 doors. Now, 4,000 doors over a four-week period is 1,000 doors a week. If you send 40 teams out, that's an average of about 25 doors per team. 25 doors is approximately two blocks. Or what is it? What did you say, Brother Mick? It's approximately two blocks, okay? Two city blocks. So that means the two people going down the street, door to door, and then coming back the same block, the same couple blocks. That's approximately 25 doors. We have specific areas that we have targeted to get these distributed, plus areas that are beyond here, we're closer to where you folks live. But over the period of 4 weeks, 4,000 doors. So figure it out. 4,000 doors, 400 viable contacts is 10% of those doors. So if one out of 10 lets us talk about the program, we're going to count that a success. And folks, I'll tell you what, in today's world, that will be a success. That's the honest truth, okay? So 4,000 doors, 400 viable contacts through the efforts of 40 visitation teams, that will hopefully result in 40 visitors over a period of 4 weeks that beginning in April 17th. So this is what the numbers stand for that I told you this morning on the back of the bulletin. 4, 40, 400, and 4,000 for life improvement. So what we need is we need your involvement, okay? We need your participation. There are sign-up sheets on the table. Now here's what we're going to sign up two ways. We're going to sign up if you have a partner and you would commit to taking those 4 weeks, which starts March 20th. You have a partner and you and your partner sign up together. And maybe you can't go on Tuesday morning. Maybe you can't go on Tuesday afternoon or night. Maybe you can't go. Maybe you have to find a time that suits you and your partner to go. That'll be fine with us, but we want to keep records of this, okay? It has to be run through Brother Mick and through the records. So you sign up either as a team. You say, well, I would like to be involved, but I don't really have a partner to go with. Then there's another sheet for you to sign up with. I think it says, count me in. The one sheet says, count us in, and the other sheet says, count me in. And so you sign up for one of those. If you're signing up as a team, obviously it's to count us in. If you're signing up as an individual so that you get paired with somebody, then you say, count me in. I would say this, if you're signing up as an individual, you probably ought to write on there when you are available to go. Well, I guess we could figure that out later. No, that would be good. Oh, that's on there? Okay, it's on the sheet that Brother Mick made up. So you can write on there when you'd be able to go, so hopefully we can get you signed up with somebody that can go when you can go. And you say, well, that's a lot of people. That's really not a lot of people, folks. That's not a lot more people than what really is already going out now on a weekly basis. It's a few more, but it's not a lot more, okay? And here's a way. Listen, some of you folks have never done this. You've never jumped in and gone door to door with anything in your hand. Let me tell you, it is much easier to talk to somebody at the door when you've got a piece of literature in your hand and you have something specific to talk about. And you know what you're going to say. It's a whole lot easier than really. It really boils down to the same thing as the plan of salvation when you think about it. But for some reason, it's nice for people to have a card to hand somebody. So we're going to give you the materials. If you've never done this, I'm encouraging you, jump in. Listen, we're talking here about several important factors. We're talking about the potential eternal destiny of somebody who might get saved during something like this. Number two, you're talking about the health of Faith Baptist Church. You cannot leave this behind. It cannot become secondary. It has to be primary. That's our charter, folks. That's our reason for existence. Okay? One of the reasons for our existence. And so it's extremely, extremely vital, extremely necessary. And you know, just because we don't always see what's going on in Sunday morning doesn't mean that lives aren't being influenced. Brother Juan Toledo stopped into the yard sale, and I hadn't seen Juan in several weeks. He's been in Spanish church. Juan got saved because an English man out visiting saw him standing on the street, went up and gave him a gospel tract and invited him to church, and Juan came. And by the way, him and his wife are expecting again. And she just had little, I can't remember her name right now, Giabella. Giabella, yeah, this can't be, but just a few months old, she's expecting again. I said, man. He said, I told my wife, we're getting old, we need to turn them out. So I said, all right, so well, whatever. So, but anyway, so, but I said, so I told Juan, I sat, the last time, I think Brother Ray was with me on a Saturday, we sat down and stopped at Juan's house, and I just wanted to make sure he was coming because I hadn't seen him, and I said, hey, Juan, I said, look, man. I said, look, what you need to do is you need to commit to either Spanish or English. You need to commit to either Spanish or English and just stay in one or the other. And so he committed to the Spanish for his family's sake. Now, his mother was a Jehovah's Witness. She has been saved and baptized. And his dad is coming every Sunday to church now with him. And his dad is now starting to try to get other family members. That man wouldn't even come to the door and speak to us. When we first went there, he wouldn't even come to the door. And he's in church now. And it's unbelievable. So just because you don't always see it here doesn't mean that lives aren't being influenced and changed. That happened because a Tuesday night, some guy just handed Juan Toledo a little gospel invitation to come to church. That's exactly, look, folks, it's not that we need to see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful if hundreds and hundreds of people being saved. It's not that as so much as it is that you and I have to stay busy about what God left us here to do. This is our purpose. This is our purpose, is being involved in witnessing for Christ. And we're trying to put some resources and tools in your hand to make it easy, some special things here to make it easier, to have something to talk about at the doors. So I hope that you'll think about it. Now here's what I'm going to do. Because spring, because we have so many big events in the spring, okay, because we just came out of Yard Mart, because this starts a week from Monday, all right? Actually, the visitation would start on March 21st. I told Brother Mick this morning, I said, look, I'm going to cancel the Tuesday organized soul winning times this week. That's the 10 o'clock, the afternoon 3:20, and the 6, the 5:30 time. I'm going to cancel those. And I know you've been going like crazy. I hope that you'll have the week. The only thing scheduled, that's why we moved the report cards till tonight instead of tomorrow night. The only thing going this week from Monday to Friday is Wednesday night church. That's the only thing going. Well, there's food bank, but that's another story. But anyway, Monday to Friday, there's Wednesday night church. And then, that doesn't include school, guys. You are having school here Monday through Friday, too. Okay, I'm sorry. So, but I mean, as far as the organized times for any kind of visitation, take the week, get you some rest, or just, you know, whatever you want to do. Take some tracks with you. And if nothing else, put some tracks in your purse or pocket and just hand them out this week wherever you go. It's just as good sometimes as doing that. So take some tracks with you. We're canceling everything. And then starting a week from Monday, we need to crank it up. We need the participation. Let's get out. Let's get on the streets. You know, wintertime, our numbers going out really dwindle. Now, I don't fuss at you because it's wintertime. Okay? It's hard for some people to go. I understand that. But now it's spring. It's going to be turning nice. We're already headed that direction. And here's an opportunity for you and me to be involved in getting the gospel out to people in our community. Listen, again, they are blinded. They are in darkness. And they're under the power of Satan. That should touch your heart. That should touch your heart. These are people. People that live on our streets. People that work in the same areas where you and I work. Labor. And shop. And do business. It ought to touch your heart. And that's exactly what God told Paul. This is the purpose that I have for you, Paul, is to go to these people so that their eyes might be open. They might be turned from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. You think about that. Life improvement. Life improvement. When Jesus moves in, life improves. There's no doubt about it. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, would you please help this little program? Would you help this thing? I pray that you'll put your blessing on it. I pray, dear God, that you'll put your anointing on it. Lord, I pray, and when these cards come, we'll take time to pray over them and ask you to put a blessing upon the cards. But Lord, would you put your blessing upon us as we go out with the invitations and the message? And God, would you use this series? I pray that you'll bring some people in on Sunday night, Lord. Sometimes so many people have so many reasons why they can't come on Sunday morning. So many involvements other places. Maybe the Sunday night time is a time when they're not quite as committed and busy. And I pray that you'll use it. And I pray that we'll see some of these folks saved. Lord, it burdens my heart. It burdens my heart, God, to know, God, we had folks in the service this morning that are not saved. And Lord, I thank you for the way you're working in some hearts. And I pray that you'll continue to and draw people to Christ. And Lord, burdens me to think about people in this community, on my street and all of our streets, who are without Christ and without God and without hope in this world. Lord, bless our church. Give us a vision. Give us a spirit of cooperation and participation. And Lord, help us to reach out to those in need, to open their eyes, to see them turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. What an improvement that makes in a person's life. Bless the time we spend over these next several days. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and our hearts are moved. Hopefully, let's pray and ask God's blessing. Maybe you even want to use the altar tonight as the ladies begin to play. If you'd be willing to do that, whatever you want to do tonight, you obey the Lord.